Chapter 7, The Creation Mandate. What about planet Earth itself? According to some new social gospel advocates, only redemption of people is in view, but the redemption of creation is part of our mission. The new social gospel frequently uses the terms redemption and restoration interchangeably. Quote, God is redeeming people, but he is also redeeming creation, which is outright groaning for its restoration. When the Christian enacts social justice for the glory of God, he is engaging in acts pointing to the Christ-shaped path back to the garden. End quote. Jared Wilson, Gospel-Driven Church. From the Cardus Institute, quote, the Word became flesh, not to save our souls from this fallen world, but in order to restore us as lovers of this world, to re-enable us to carry out that creative commission. Indeed, God saves us so that, once again, in a kind of divine madness, we can save the world, can remake the world aright, and God's redemptive love spills over in its cosmic effects, giving hope to this groaning creation. End quote. James K. Smith, Cardus Institute. The new social gospel teachers justify this thinking by a mandate given to Adam in the garden. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Genesis 1:28. According to this verse, God gave Adam two things, an identity and a job. His identity was image of God. His job was caretaker of the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. In theology, this is called the creation mandate, or sometimes the dominion mandate. When the fall took place, Adam did not lose his identity. Neither did he get a new job description. The fall simply made his job harder. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. Genesis 3:17-19. This made it hard on his descendants also. We inherited not only his corruption, but also his job description. Though the physical creation fell under a curse at that time, we are still obliged to do something about it. Right here enters another new social gospel half-truth. It is true we are still the image of God and caretakers of the earth. The question is, what has God commanded us to do in this dispensation about the caretaker part? The new social gospel asserts, quote, the Bible teaches us that God is not only redeeming his people, but is also restoring the whole creation. End quote. From An Evangelical Call to Civic Responsibility. The new social gospel view is that Christ came as God's emissary to restore the original creation. The salvation of souls and the formation of the church is only a subset of this plan. We are to be as actively involved in restoring the physical creation as in saving souls, according to this theology. Nothing is wrong with most of the above interpretation of Genesis 1:28. It's the last step that does not follow from the premise. Are we in partnership with God? Indeed, we are. The error resides in confusing the different ways a partnership works. One way is like two guys moving a log. Since the log is too heavy for one man, they both pick up the log and move it. Both are doing the same job at the same time and in the same way. Another is like landscaping. One agrees to mow the lawn and the other plants the flowers. Both are working on the same project, but in totally different ways. So is God's plan for his creation. Our part is to preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. This is the Great Commission, which is our job, plus nothing. If there were more, it would be included in the Great Commission or in the instructions of the apostles. Here again is another leap. They take an Old Testament text, add their own theology into it, leap over the New Testament filter, and put it on the church as a mandate. Big mistake. We will see in the next chapter how God will do His part. Environmentalism. The creation mandate supposedly includes environmental activism as part of the church's mission. From Rusty Pritchard, Flourish Ministries, we read, quote, "It goes back to the Great Commission. We are to teach people to observe everything God has commanded, showing the world that we are actually serious about the commandments of God," end quote. He adds, quote, "We need to more clearly connect evangelism with environmental care. We do this because Jesus is Lord, because Jesus, in His work on the cross, has reconciled all things to Himself," Colossians 1, end quote. When these teachers try to justify their thinking from the New Testament, they usually quote from Colossians 1:20. This verse supposedly associates the redemption of the creation with the atonement of Christ. "And through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross," Colossians 1:20. The new social gospel teachers invariably interpret this to mean Christ died to redeem not only fallen people, but also the physical creation. This interpretation has some weight because the term "all things" is used 4 times in the previous verses and refers to the lordship of Christ over all creation. Let us assume their interpretation is correct, and Christ's death indeed redeems all of creation. Why does it follow that it is a part of the mission of the church to produce that in this present age? The resurrection of the dead is also included in the restoration of creation, Romans 8:20-21. Some new social gospel advocates seem to understand this part of Christ's redemption will take place at the end of the ages when God grants a new heaven and a new earth. This keeps them within the bounds of traditional theology. This, however, is not the intent of the verse. In the context, Gentile believers are now part of God's kingdom along with the Jewish saints who went before. God has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, Colossians 1:12. As full members of the body of Christ, not mere Gentiles, these Colossians share in the same kingdom and same body of Christ as their Jewish predecessors. This was a controversial issue in New Testament times. The apostles clarified constantly that Gentile believers are members of God's kingdom, equal in status to Jewish believers. In no sense of the word are Gentile converts second-class citizens. There was indeed a separation caused by the fall that must be reconciled, though it is not really the fallen creation in view here. Even less is Paul implying that winning souls is a mere subset of the total picture. It is no subset. This text is similar to Hebrews 11:40. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. The key division in the context is between the saved who have gone before and those of us still on earth. Christ is going to join these two bodies into one, the living and the dead, Jewish and Gentile. He will do this because of His supremacy over all creation. The point at issue is the unity of His body, not a creation-restoration mission. Finally, the text contains no commands for Christians or mandates to the church. It simply describes who Jesus is and what He is able to do. Leaping from that to a creation-restoration mission is a leap indeed. The whole creation is going to have to wait a while for its redemption. We come first. Romans 8:19-21. It is redemption of people in view here, not the redemption of a material creation. The creation is restored, not redeemed, because the physical planet is not a sinner. Christ is able to do this because he is Lord of all, including the world of Gentiles. This, and nothing more, is Paul's intent. Is God currently redeeming the physical creation? No, he is not. This is for the future, and it is not a process either. We will see that a bit later. The creation mandate idea is sufficient grounds for a lot of things. For keeping our house clean, that is, planet Earth. For expressing creative gifts God gives us. For being nice to our pets. It is not sufficient grounds for adding these to the gospel message, making it incumbent upon the church to lead the world in environmental causes, or establishing a just and equitable society. If it were, the apostles would have said so. From this chapter, we learn, the notion of the redemption of the material creation for the present is unbiblical. We are in partnership with God for the whole redemption scenario, but our part is to preach the gospel.